Praise the Lord. We're so grateful. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12 is where we'll start this morning. I'm like you. I had a good Thanksgiving, and you know, we had a big celebration at my son's, at Will and Aaron's on Thursday. Then we went down to Mike and Linda's on Friday. And actually, before that, on Friday morning, I came into the office, and I'm like, hungover from Thanksgiving. We didn't drink except lemonade and sweet tea, but hungover on turkey and sweet potato pie and apple pie and all that good stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's kind of hard to get back in the flow of thinking about what the Lord wants you to share and minister. It was for me anyway on Friday morning. And so I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share this Sunday? And I always try to, I don't just say I'm going to come up with a sermon. As Brother Hagin used to say, I put out my spiritual antenna. Yeah. Yeah, okay, Lord, what are you, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What do you want me to say? And a phrase from this passage that we're going to read came to me, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that just kept rolling over in me. And so I knew where the scripture was. And then I thought, well, I wonder if I've preached on this before ever. And I went back and I was able to search it and look in on my computer. And I had actually 3 years ago, this very Sunday. And before that, 8 years before that, 2020 and then 2012, about the same time of year. And you know, I didn't even remember, and it wasn't like, okay, let's go fish out an old message. And this message is going to be different than those other two, using the same text. But that's kind of interesting. I don't know how that happens exactly, but anyway, I believe this is what the Lord has for us today. Amen. So let's open our hearts and receive it. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he's talking about in the Old Testament, talking about back when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, and God came down on Mount Sinai and his voice, he spoke to all the people, and they said, we can't endure this. But the earth shook from the voice of God, whose voice then shook the earth. That's what he's talking about. But now he has promised, and this is in the book of Haggai, that you can read this, is what the writer of Hebrews is quoting. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. What kind of kingdom are we receiving? We're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. Praise God. The New Living Translation says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. The Message Bible says, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. The good news today is this: we are in the kingdom of God, and we're heirs of this kingdom. And the kingdom of God is unshakable. That is a comforting thought to me today. I hope it is to you. The kingdom of God is unshakable. Back in verse 26, it says that God... It says he shook the earth. It says his voice shook the earth. Okay. And so God shook the earth, but also he says he's going to shake not only the earth, but also the heavens, and to remove the things that can be shaken, so that the things which can't be shaken remain. And the things that can't be shaken are the things of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're in that kingdom. We're heirs of that kingdom. It's interesting to note, too, that how God does the shaking, He does it with His voice. Anytime God does anything, you know, He does it with His voice. And you know He created us in His image to change things and to accomplish things. You know how we do it? With our voice. With our voice. Amen. He didn't have to, God didn't stomp His feet to shake the earth. He spoke. He did it with His voice. God didn't create everything by going, He spoke. He did it with His voice. Amen? Amen? Praise God. It's interesting too. So we're in the kingdom and we're heirs of the kingdom. Now, it's interesting that He uses this word shaking, and it's used like an earthquake. I have never been in an earthquake, and I don't plan to be. And if you're in an earthquake, anybody ever been in an earthquake? A few of you have, okay. All right, and that was just a train rolling by up in Illinois, Richard. That one. I'm kidding. If you've ever been in an earthquake, I'm sure you know there's nothing like the ground that you're standing on moving. And obviously the first sensation that you have, the first thoughts that you have is, I am not in control. Things are totally beyond my control. And you know, things can be like that, not in a sense of a physical earthquake, but you know, we can encounter situations and circumstances and things in our life where it seems like, I have no control over this. Or we can look at what's going on in the world, we can look at what's going on in our nation, and we think, this is out of my control, like, what can I do? And we can get all caught up in the, you know, in the chaos and in the frenzy and in the panic that the world is in. But the reminder from the Word of God for us is this: we have a kingdom that can't be shaken. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. And we're in that kingdom right now. Kingdom of God is not just something that we'll have one day when we get to heaven. It's right now. And it's an unshakable kingdom that we live in and that we abide in. Amen? Amen? Praise God. We're part of a kingdom that can't be shaken. Now, let's go to the book of James. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, James says this. He said, listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? And what's that next phrase? Heirs of the kingdom. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He promised to those who love Him? Anybody that loves Him can be an heir of the kingdom and becomes an heir of the kingdom. In Bible times, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the people were ruled by kings. We just celebrated Thanksgiving and the pilgrims and the society that they established. And what they did was a breaking away from that system of people being ruled by kings, of people being in a class system that they were locked into and they could not get out of. You're poor and you'll always be poor. You're a peasant, you'll always be a peasant. We got the king up here. We got the nobility here. We got the lords here. You're down here. Nobody had a chance. If you weren't born into a higher hierarchy or higher class, you had no chance of moving up. So when the pilgrims came here, they said, you know, we are establishing, and they were. This is why God wanted to do this, because this system of government that we have here is the closest thing to heaven. Amen. The closest thing, because it says we are free people and we are equal people. Nobody's above another. There's not a king. There aren't lords. There's not the nobility. We're all the same. Amen. We're all free and we're all equal. And that broke away from that. And so we, with 400 years now of this experiment in our nation, we sometimes forget about what a lot of the rest of the world still has, and what some folks are trying to impose back here. But we're not going to let that happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Of this hierarchy of the elite here, the nobility here, and then you poor people down here, you know, you just have to stay that way. And but that's what it was, and that's what James was speaking about here. And he said the good news is this. He said God's chosen the poor in this world, those who are seemingly insignificant or who have no chance of bettering their life or bettering their family's future. God has chosen you, my beloved, to be heirs of His kingdom. Hallelujah. So when the gospel is proclaimed and people are told that they can be heirs of the kingdom, then that's good news. Amen. When Jesus began His ministry, Luke 4, verse 16, it says it's after His baptism and temptation by Satan in the wilderness. He comes back to Nazareth, His hometown. So He came to Nazareth where He'd been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and He stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." First thing that He says He was anointed to do is what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. Good news to the poor. What is that? You're offered entrance. You're offered access into the kingdom of God. And not just as a subject, but as an heir. As an heir of the kingdom. You're an heir of that kingdom. Hallelujah. He expands that thought further. Jesus does in Luke 12 and verse 29. He says, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek what? The kingdom of God." Yeah. "Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Amen.
And what kind of kingdom is it? It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, because we're heirs of the kingdom, anyone that's an heir of the kingdom also falls heir to the authority of that kingdom. Did you know that?
Yeah.
If you're just a subject of the kingdom, you're under the authority of the kingdom. But if you're an heir of the kingdom, that means you can wield the authority of the kingdom.
Right.
Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus said, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom." Why? Because we're heirs of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom, keys represent authority, we understand. And so He said, "I'm giving you the authority of the kingdom." Why? Because we're heirs of the kingdom. He said, "I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, again, comparing this to a natural kingdom, the authority of a natural king and a natural kingdom was used to order people around, to determine who lived or died, and for that king or whoever was in authority to impose their will on those who had no power to resist them. That's the way a kingdom worked, a natural kingdom. But the authority of the kingdom of God is not to be wielded in that same way.
Amen.
The authority that we operate in is not wielded against other people, but there is an entity that we wield this authority against. Hallelujah. The authority that Jesus said, "I'm giving you the keys, I'm giving you the authority of the kingdom, you're an heir of the kingdom, so you fall heir to the authority of the kingdom." And the authority that I'm giving you is against demons and against disease. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He would proclaim the kingdom of God, and then he would demonstrate, okay, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what the authority of the kingdom of God can accomplish. And he healed every disease and every sickness among the people. And then he said this in Matthew 12 and verse 28. He said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God in manifestation means that demons lose their power, means that demons have to go. Amen. That's the authority of the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You know, the Northside Forsyth Hospital here in Cumming, before, does anybody remember, before it was Northside Forsyth, it was Baptist North. And they had on the wall, right in the hospital, this verse right here, sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And I always got inspired every time I walked into that hospital and saw that. Praise God. But look at what it says. He sent them to do what? To preach or proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Why? Because the authority of the kingdom of God is exercised over sickness, disease, and demons. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 9. He says, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick and say, and they're saying, what just happened? And they say, well, here's what just happened. The kingdom of God came near. The reason you're healed, the reason this disease had to leave is because the kingdom of God is in force here now. We've come to enforce the authority of the kingdom of God, and sickness can't stay. Glory. Amen. And so the authority that we've been given in the kingdom of God, it's wielded against sickness, against disease, and against demons. What about the characteristics of the kingdom? Well, we find that in Romans 14. In Romans 14 and verse 17, it says, For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the characteristic. Paul writing here, says the kingdom of God, he said it's not a matter of eating and drinking and observing those rituals of the Old Testament. He said, but the kingdom of God, the characteristics of the kingdom are righteousness and peace and joy. Amen. In the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the kingdom of God and an heir of this kingdom, then you're an heir of righteousness. Amen. You're an heir. Your inheritance is peace. Your inheritance is joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's an unshakable kingdom. Don't forget that. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. The Message Bible says, God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as He sets it right, puts it together. That's peace, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. It's the Hebrew word is shalom. And the Greek word, the equivalent, means the same thing. It means not just, you know, peace, what we think of peacefulness, but it means wholeness. Everything put together. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He sets your life, what God does with your life is He sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. These are the characteristics of the kingdom of God. No earthly kingdom ever produced such wonderful characteristics. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And then the next thing, the kingdom of God, this unshakable kingdom, it's unshakable because it is an eternal kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, verse 31, this is the message of Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, letting her know that she's been chosen to bring into the world the Messiah. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be
no end.
An eternal kingdom. This kingdom that we are in, the kingdom of God that we're in, this unshakable kingdom, it is an eternal kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what we're part of. That's what we're citizens of.
Yes.
We're citizens of this kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the Old Testament again, there was a powerful king that arose and you know about him. You know his story. His name was King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And his kingdom was the Babylonian kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar and his army, they conquered Judah. They took captive some of the Jews. And one of those Jews was named Daniel. You know the story of Daniel.
Yeah.
And God gave Daniel favor within the kingdom and the government of and promoted him within that kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And God blessed him and gave him favor. You can read that along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you know the story about their story about how they were thrown into the fiery furnace and God protected them.
Yeah.
But before that, or it's recorded before that anyway, in Daniel chapter 2, it's recorded that that King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And this dream greatly troubled him, and he called in all of his wise men, and he said, I've had a dream here, and it really troubles me, and I need to know what this dream means. And they said, great, King, we will give you the interpretation. Tell us the dream. And he said, no. I don't know if he couldn't remember. The Bible's not clear. But he said, no. If you're so wise, and if you're giving me the exact interpretation, then you'll tell me what the dream was too. And they said, "Wait, what?" And so they said, "We can't tell you. We don't know. If you'll tell us the dream, then we'll, you know, we've got these books that we refer to, and if somebody dreams that, well, that means they're thinking about that." But I don't know how they did it, but they couldn't get anywhere without knowing what the dream was. And so Nebuchadnezzar, being the king that he was and could decide who lived or died, he said, "All right, if you're going to be that way, then if you're not going to cooperate with me, I'm just going to kill you all." And he started killing all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel was among them. And his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were among them. And they got word about that, and they began to pray, and they sought God. And they, you know, it wasn't a matter. Daniel was doing this for self-preservation. Daniel wanted to live, and he went to God, and he prayed, and he said, "Lord, you know, can you show me what's going on here?" And I want to interject something here. I didn't get this in the notes, but I meant to add this. I guess I'm going to blame the turkey for not getting, or the cranberry sauce for not getting that added. Let me just read this, though. So Daniel's praying, and in verse number, you know, sometimes it's good to get off your notes and get back to just the Bible anyway. I used to just do this all the time, so amen. We got used to putting everything up on the screen, which is good, and we still will do. But anyway, so Daniel prays, and God shows him. In verse 19, it says, "And the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his.'" In verse 21, he says, "And he changes the times." This is Daniel 2:21. "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So Daniel made a statement there. It's God that removes kings, and it's God who raises up kings. Hallelujah. Why? What's the significance there? Because all these earthly kingdoms throughout all history, and whatever way we may be seeing today, these are all temporary. And we, beloved, are in a kingdom that's eternal and that cannot be shaken.
Amen.
We're on this earth and we come in contact and we deal with, and to some degree we are affected by the earthly kingdoms that are in power right now. But beyond that, our king, the kingdom we live in supersedes that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, we get down to verse 31. And so Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar and he explains to him the dream and the interpretation. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver. Picture this as I read it. Its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands. In other words, not by natural means, not by human means. A stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold. In other words, from the bottom up, all these kingdoms just fell. And the gold were crushed together because of the stone that struck those kingdoms in the feet. They were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. Verse 37. You, O king, are a king of kings. Not the king of kings, but a king of kings. You, O king, are a king of kings. He was over other kings. He had conquered other kings. He was the greatest king on the earth that the earth had ever known at that time. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. You are this head of gold. And Daniel proceeds, we won't take time to read it, but Daniel proceeds to interpret the dream and reveal to Nebuchadnezzar through the wisdom of God a succession of world kingdoms that will parade across the stage of history. He says, King Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. You saw the image, its head was of gold, its chest and its arms were of silver. That means another kingdom is coming after you. It'll be inferior to yours, just like silver is inferior to gold in value. And we know that happened. The Media and Persian kingdom came after that, the Medes and the Persians. That kingdom came after the Babylonian kingdom. And then after that, the kingdom of bronze, that was the kingdom of Greece under Alexander the Great. And then after the bronze was the iron, that was the Roman Empire that came on the world stage. And finally, the feet, partly of iron with 10 toes, which represent 10 kings. We won't get into all of that. But finally, the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay, will be the end time kingdom of the Antichrist. And that's what's going to happen. And in the days of these kings, in the days of the kings that are in the feet, what's going to happen? Well, that stone that's cut without hands, that's Jesus. That's our Savior. He comes and He strikes those kingdoms in the feet. And all the kingdoms crumble and become like powder and are blown away. And that stone, Jesus, and the kingdom of God, becomes a great mountain that fills the whole earth. That's our kingdom. That's our kingdom. That's the kingdom we're in. And it's an unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the kingdom that will stand forever. Clint, come on back up if you would. So the kingdom that we're in, it's a spiritual kingdom for sure. But even though it is, this spiritual kingdom, it has authority over and comes in contact with the natural kingdom, obviously. Because again, the authority of the kingdom is over demons and disease. Well, that's something that's in the natural, right? Even though it's coming from the spiritual, it affects the natural. They're not parallel universes. We're not living in a parallel universe. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the kingdom of God, and as heirs of the kingdom of God, we can operate in this world system and in the kingdoms of the world, and the kingdom we're in supersedes. The kingdom, even though the world kingdoms may be shaking and in chaos, our kingdom is unshakable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel had another vision of this unshakable, everlasting kingdom. And it's recorded in Daniel 7. And he talks about in there that there'll come a time when after the catching away of the church and the revealing of the Antichrist and he comes into power, that he's talking about that in the previous verses here. And this Antichrist that will speak blasphemous words against God, he will make war against the saints. And he will overcome them, it looks like, for a period of time, for a time, times, and half a time. For 3.5 years, he'll have authority. And he will, a lot of believers in Jesus that become believers during the tribulation, a lot of them will be martyred. So it will look like the Antichrist has won. Sometimes it looks like that now. Sometimes in the world that we're living in now, it looks like the kingdom of the enemy is prevailing. But it's not. Amen. It's not. Amen. Amen. Now, part of that, there's another side to this. A part of that is that we that are heirs of the kingdom and that have been given authority of the kingdom, we have to wield our authority. But even in that, sometimes it looks like the other kingdom's winning. But it's not. It's not. Because it says, Daniel says here, the court will be seated and a decree will be made. The Ancient of Days will sit on his throne and he'll issue a decree and he'll say, that's it. That's enough. In verse 27, then of Daniel 7, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. That's us. The greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Jesus said. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. That's our Lord. That's our elder brother. That's our joint heir, Jesus. We're joint heirs with Him. We're joint heirs with Him. Hallelujah. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. This is talking about the return of Jesus at the Battle of Armageddon, where he comes back to establish his kingdom on the earth, where he will rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Now, it'll go on after that, but there's a 1,000-year period that has to be accomplished. And verse 16 says, and he has on his robe, this one that's faithful and true, that's sitting on the white horse, that in righteousness is judging and making war. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. The famous word in Handel's Messiah. This is the verse that's in Handel's Messiah. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. It's interesting. You know, remember when Jesus was in His earthly ministry during His first coming, and it, we reference it, but he was, after his baptism, was tempted by the devil. And remember, one of the temptations, the Bible says that Satan took him up and showed to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, I'll give you all of these kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. He knew that that was Jesus' destiny. He was just trying to get him to take a shortcut to it. But Jesus said, no, I'm not interested in taking your shortcut. I'm going to save the world first. I'm going to redeem humanity first, and then I'll get the kingdoms of the world. And those that I save and redeem, they'll reign with me. They'll be heirs with me of that kingdom. Hallelujah. It's this kingdom that we're receiving. This is an unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah. So what's our response? What should be our attitude about all this? Well, number one, we shouldn't worry about anything. Number one, we should hold our head high and say, glory to God. When you see these things happen, lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. We should live with absolute confidence. We should live with absolute trust in our Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. We should live like folks that are in an unshakable kingdom. We should not live like the world lives. We should not grieve like the world grieves. We should not panic like the world panics. Because we are a part of an unshakable kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Again, let's go back and let's close with what it said back in the message we read earlier. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful? So what's our response? Thankfulness. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that through the gospel, that through Jesus, you reached out to me and you welcomed me and you brought me into your kingdom. Not just as a subject of the kingdom, but as an heir of the kingdom. It was your good pleasure, Father, to give me the kingdom. Thank you. Thank you. That's what our response should be. Thankfulness. Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Hallelujah. Brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. We're a part of the greatest thing ever in the universe. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And it's an unshakable kingdom. I want you to stand up with me. And we are going to pray a prayer that you've prayed many, many times. It's a prayer that I begin to advocate that you pray and that we pray at our prayer school every Wednesday morning. It's the Lord's Prayer. Praise God. But I want you to, with this understanding in our minds of the kingdom, I want you to let that register on you as we pray this together. And we've got it on the screen because, you know, sometimes there are different versions and variations. This way we can pray it all together. So will you pray it with me right now? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him. Oh, that we're in an unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And even though the circumstances of your life may seem like they're out of control, beloved, you are in the kingdom of God. You draw on that. You anchor yourself in that. You declare, I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The characteristics of the kingdom that I dwell in are righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The authority that I have in this kingdom is an authority that's over sickness and over disease and over demons. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory. Praise God. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Close your eyes, if you would. I just want to give an invitation. I think I know everybody in here, but you never want to let this opportunity pass. And I'm also doing this for the folks who, you know, I had somebody tell me yesterday they've never been to a service here, but they were here. Yeah, actually, it was Millie. Hey, I'm glad you're watching today. Juan Ramos that comes and quite often and helps. So there is a huge help with our food ministry for Royal. But his wife Millie, that we prayed for, that had surgery, she was here yesterday and she was helping. And so she turned to me and she said, "You know, I watch the live stream every Sunday." So hey, Millie, we're glad you're watching. Praise God. I hear reports, more and more people are watching. So perhaps you're watching today. Maybe it's the first time that you found us. And you say, I don't know, I'm not in that kingdom, but can I be? Yes, that's the good news. You can be. You can be. When James says God has chosen the poor of this world to be heirs of his kingdom, it means that would be someone that would be least esteemed. That's the way he was trying to say that. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, you are given an invitation right now to come into this kingdom. It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The characteristics of our kingdom, the kingdom that we are a part of now, are righteousness and peace and joy. Praise God. If you're interested in that, then I want to lead you in prayer right now. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can become an heir of the kingdom of God. So just everybody in the auditorium, if you'd join me, put your hand over your heart if you're joining us on YouTube, right there where you're watching, on your phone or on your computer or on your TV, right where you're watching, you can pray this prayer and receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Just pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and I want to be in that kingdom. I recognize that I need a Savior, that I've sinned, and my sins have separated me from you, but you still love me. And you made a way for my sins to be washed away and for me to be forgiven. That was when you sent Jesus. And he died on the cross for me. I believe that. Lord Jesus, I turn away from my sin and I trust in you. I call upon you. Be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Thank you for bringing me into the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God into me. I am your child, and now I am an heir of the kingdom of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please get in touch with us here at City on a Hill Church. We'd love to follow up with you. Go to our website, cityonahillchurch.us. There's a link there where you're watching that will get you there. And we'd love to hear from you and follow up with you. And we're so grateful that you joined us today. Praise God. Amen.